This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Law enforcement says this may be a critical moment in the investigation of the shootings at Virginia Tech. NBC News has received a package from Sung Hui Cho. The gunman sent the package through the U.S. mail on Monday, apparently during the two-hour window between his shootings. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
NBC Nightly News said tonight, "We know we are in effect airing the words of a murderer.
When the time came, I did it. I had to."
The package contains photographs, videos, and an 1,800-word diatribe. They're described as rambling, sometimes incoherent, and profanity-laden.
"I didn't have to do this. I could have left. I could have fled. But no, I will no longer run. If not for me, for my children, for my brothers and sisters, the chief. I did it for them."
NBC said Cho sent the package overnight mail, but got the zip code wrong, so it took an extra day to arrive. In the videos, Cho speaks to an unspecified you.
"You had 100 billion chances in the ways to have avoided today, but you decided to spill my blood. You forced me into a corner and gave me only one option. The decision was yours. Now you have blood on your hands that will never wash off."
NBC says the materials include 23 QuickTime videos in which Cho talks directly to the camera. Some of the passages are bitter and violent.
"You just loved crucifying me. You loved inducing cancer in my head, terrorizing my heart, and ripping my soul all this time."
There are also photographs of him posing with guns. The FBI has the original materials. NBC says it's unclear when the video was recorded. No other similar package has come to light. From Centerville, Virginia, where Cho grew up, to Blacksburg, where he shot himself on Monday, people who knew Cho have been assembling a portrait of the 23-year-old. Yu O-sun has known his family for more than 10 years. Both Mr. and Mrs. Cho had jobs at the dry cleaners where Mrs. Yu now works, and the two families were next-door neighbors for a while. She says the children were always very studious.
Seung-hee's older sister was especially polite and considerate. We didn't think that Seung-hee, though, had sort of the social skills that was expected of somebody of his age. He never greeted us. He was very quiet. But, you know, at the same time, you know, I'm a Korean mother, and we always saw that these children were studying so hard, and we would tell our children, why don't you study more like these kids? And, you know, they actually both ended up in very good schools, and we were quite envious.
She says the last time she saw Mr. Cho was about a year ago at a friend's store.
He actually looked quite well and happier than usual because it appeared as if both of his kids were actually now going to be pretty much set in both their academic career and their future. And so I just really didn't suspect that there was anything going on.
But now it's clear that there were warning signs even then. Virginia Tech Police Chief Wendell Flincham said in 2005, two different female students contacted the police after Cho started sending messages to them. After the first incident, officers referred Cho to the university's disciplinary system. After the second incident, an acquaintance warned police that Cho seemed suicidal.
"Out of concern for Cho, officers asked him to speak to a counselor. He went voluntarily to the police department. Based on that interaction with the counselor, a temporary detention order was obtained, and Cho was taken to a mental health facility."
Late today, NPR obtained a document filed with the Montgomery County, Virginia Magistrate's Office showing the detention was involuntary. The form shows Cho was classified as an imminent danger to himself or others. It says, "His affect is flat and mood is depressed. He denies suicidal ideation. He does not acknowledge symptoms of a thought disorder. His insight and judgment are normal." This is important because every gun buyer in Virginia has to attest that he or she has never been involuntarily committed to a mental institution. Stephen Halbrook is a lawyer in Virginia who specializes in the Second Amendment.
If he did meet the federal standard of being committed, then he would have lied on the form, and unfortunately the background check might not have picked that up.
Halbrook says it's easy for a background check to catch something like a felony conviction, but the records for mental health institutions are not as centralized or readily available. Ari Shapiro, NPR News.